Welcome to Basic Gospel. Here daily at this time to bring the basic gospel, relevant, personal, and essential into your life. Hello, everybody. With Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And our purpose every weekday is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, live it. The phone lines are open now, and we invite your calls. The number 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. We're here to talk with you, and we encourage your calls early in the broadcast. In fact, call now. Richard, happy Friday to you. What's on your mind today?
Well, thanks, Bob. Doing this program is on my mind. I mean, there are people out there who have questions about the Word of God and stuff going on in their lives, and we're here to talk to them about what Jesus can do for that. And in fact, our topic for today, if you want a topic to start with, you don't have to use this, but if you'd like a topic to start with, the topic today is joy. What is it? How do you get it? How do you keep it? Is there a difference between joy and happiness?
And can you lose it once you get it?
Can you lose joy? How does joy work in the context of this gospel message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you about this or any other topic you have.
Yes, indeed. Again, 1-800-677-9377, toll-free across the country, 1-800-677-9377. Richard, let's just dive right in. We had a question from Christopher, who writes to us from Durban, South Africa. Very, very penetrating question. He says, what is the reason for Christians blaming God when things don't go as expected?
That is a great question. And it shows not God's problem, but people's problems. When we have things go badly, our first assumption is that God's doing us wrong.
Yeah.
After all, I've been a good boy or a good girl. You know, I've kept short accounts with God. I read my Bible every day. I've witnessed to people. I've done all these things that it means to be a Christian. And yet I've got bad things going on in my life. What gives?
Yeah.
We're very impatient. And remember, I include myself in this. I've done this myself. Things will be going along just fine. And at the first hint of trouble, I'm saying, well, God, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Well, it's just the way it is. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is devolving, if you really like the truth of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, the scientists try to tell us that everything is improving and getting better and replacing itself. And I take a look around, and it seems to me that things are getting worse. There's more and worse kinds of disease. There are more children with cancer today than there ever have been in the past. There are economic issues, environmental issues, political issues. Mm-hmm. Show me one place in this world where, over the long term, it's better now than it was. Mm-hmm. Okay, we live longer. Well, it just gives us longer to suffer disease and disappointment and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, Jesus described it that way. He said, in this world, you're going to have trouble.
Sure.
But fear not, because I've overcome the world. And that's really what's going on with this joy issue. I want to be happy, and I define joy as happiness. And there's where I go wrong. Joy is not about happiness. Happiness is about situations, the moment, the fleeting reality of, you know, I found a dollar on the pavement today, but okay, I'm happy, but I got a flat tire on the way home. Now I'm unhappy.
Yeah.
Does that mean I've lost my joy? No. Joy is fundamentally about assurance of who you are in Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It's the conviction that cannot be shaken regardless of what's going on. The conviction that I am a child of the living God.
Yeah.
If you are. If you're not, mm-hmm. let's deal with that. Let's
right.
become a child of the living God. Once you've got that knowledge, that certain knowledge about being God's kid, and it's just that familiar, you know, it's just that intimate. I'm God's kid, and nothing can change that. So no matter what is going on, good or bad, then you're okay.
Right.
You'll feel bad because bad things are happening. You'll feel good because good things are happening. But underneath it all, there's a certainty, a conviction that no matter what happens, good, bad, or otherwise, in your outside world, they can't take Jesus away from you.
Exactly, exactly.
And that's what's going on with that question.
Yeah. I kind of contrast the joy with happiness, you know, happiness with what's happening around you and so forth. And that can go, that can ebb and flow.
We can
be as happy as a lark one minute, and the next minute something falls on your toe, and you're not really happy about that.
No.
But something comes along. It will not rob you of the joy of your salvation, relationship with the living Christ.
Yeah.
Well, plenty of open lines, friends. If you want to be a part of this discussion, it's a good one. I hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity. 1-800-677-9377. We have a call coming in, not quite ready on the screen, so Richard will pose this question to you from Greg. He says, I did a recent search on Google for baptism with the Holy Spirit. 9 out of 10 sites agreed that this refers to a second work of Christ. I disagree, however. I'm heavily outnumbered when the topic comes up for discussion. It seems that the vast majority of Christians believe that the Spirit indwells us and later, in response to fervent prayer, comes upon us from the outside to empower us to do good works. This baptism is repeated as necessary in order for these works to be done. What do you say about this?
Well, I agree with Abraham Lincoln that everything you read on the Internet must be true.
Must be true.
Must be true. If you don't get that joke, think about it a little bit. There is only one baptism. You are baptized into the Holy Spirit. Jesus talked about that in Acts 1.
Yeah.
Now, having been baptized, first of all, if you're not baptized into the Holy Spirit, you can't be a child of God. If the Spirit doesn't live in you, you don't belong to Christ. So, the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you are saved. Now, it is true that at various times during your life, the Holy Spirit will equip you to do something special for God. Mm-hmm. You may know it, you may not know it. That's not a second baptism. That is just the result of you, over a lifetime, submitting yourselves to the will of God.
Right.
And it's a very, very cool thing. I don't have to be concerned with, you know, doing God's will. Well, God's will isn't something that he wants me to do. Mm-hmm. God's will is something that he has for me. And I get to participate in that. So there are times when I might be called upon to do something uniquely special, and God will see to it that I am equipped to do that. That doesn't mean I have it from then on. It means that at that moment, I was available to God, and he used me as he saw fit.
Right.
That's a wonderful, wonderful thing, but let's not make it more than it is. There is one Spirit, one baptism, one gospel, one Jesus, and regardless of where I am in my life, the Spirit can use me as he sees fit. Yes. And what an incredible blessing. It's not a second baptism.
Yeah.
It's just the normal outflowing of the love of God being ministered through me to other people, sometimes in spectacular ways, most of the time in just everyday sharing your life with people ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Great answer, Richard. Thank you for that. Friends, we are here every day, Monday through Friday, to address your questions, take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ. There's no other reason for us to have a live broadcast than to have your questions be a part of it. So we want you to participate. If you have a question, give us a call, something you'd like to discuss, an issue going on in life, a particular Bible passage. 1-800-677-9377. That's the number to dial. 1-800-677-9377. Call right now. We have plenty of open lines. And Richard had a call from Sheila, who could not stay on the line, from Englewood, New Jersey. And she would like you to explain Acts 18:14-17. That's from Sheila in Englewood, New Jersey.
I believe that's actually Acts 8.
Acts 8.
14-17. This is a great passage. There is something that goes on in the book of Acts that is so special and so exciting. On the day of Pentecost, when the disciples and some other people were in that upper room and they were praying, the Holy Spirit came on everybody at the same time. Well, Jesus had said, I want you to stay in Jerusalem for a while, because the Holy Spirit will come on you. And after the Holy Spirit does, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the rest of the world. So within Jerusalem and Judea, every time somebody preached, Peter or one of the other apostles or even the deacons like Stephen, people would come to Jesus and they would get the Holy Spirit right there on the spot.
Yeah.
Well, then they heard that, you know, because of some persecution and stuff, they heard that something was going on in Samaria and that people were accepting Jesus. Well, you have to know that for any good Jewish person in Jerusalem, the idea of a Samaritan of all people receiving Jesus and being saved was almost as far-fetched as believing that any Gentile could be saved. So what God did to demonstrate this to them, he said, all these people are going to accept me, but I'm going to hold on to the Spirit for just a minute because I need the leadership in Jerusalem to come to Samaria. And so the way it says here, the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, and they sent Peter and John to them to investigate this. You can imagine that the delegation shows up. We've heard that these people have accepted Jesus. How can that be?
Yeah.
And so they arrived. They prayed for them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And John and Peter got to see that. And right then, at that moment, there was no possible way to deny what had happened, that these people were truly saved because they received the Holy Spirit. They rejoice with these people. They go back to Jerusalem, and they rejoice in Jerusalem because even the Samaritans have received Jesus and been saved because they've been indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Time passes. That's chapter 8. Time passes, and Peter is over on the coast in Joppa, and he has this dream that says, you know, don't call anything unclean. Well, what do you mean, Lord? I don't know. Just don't call anything unclean. By the way, somebody's going to knock on your door and ask you to come. So he gets up. He's kind of confused. There's a knock at the door, and they say, please come help us. There's this guy named Cornelius. He's a centurion, and he's a God-fearing man. Peter says, okay, I'll go. And he gets there, and the first thing he says to Cornelius is, you know it's unlawful for a Jew to even darken the door of a Gentile's home. But because God sent me, I guess I'm here. And so Cornelius says, well, I was told in a dream to send people to go get you. What is it that you want to say to me? And Peter begins to share the gospel with Cornelius and his family and the people who were gathered there. And in the middle of this gospel presentation, Cornelius and his family receive the Holy Spirit.
Right.
What are you going to do? Peter comes back to Jerusalem, and people are upset with him. We heard you were hanging out with Gentiles.
Yeah.
How could you do that? He said, how could I not do that? First of all, God told me to go. Secondly, when I got there, he gave them the Holy Spirit. How could we refuse fellowship with someone who has been saved?
Yeah.
And so what God did to demonstrate the power of this gospel to people who otherwise had blinders on, he gave them the Holy Spirit personally, and then he sent them to kind of sort of relatives, because Samaritans were related to Jews, and said, I want you to preach to them. And they got the Spirit. And then of all things, a Gentile got the Holy Spirit in front of Peter. And so Peter, as leader of the church in Jerusalem, had to come back and say, we've got to rethink this. God has accepted everyone. And that's when the whole thing just took off and went around the world. And of course, Paul gets roped into the situation because Paul thinks his job is to clean up the streets. And God convinces him otherwise. Jesus meets him on the road and sends him to the Gentiles. And this experience is demonstrated over and over and over and over again. He shows up someplace. Sometimes they'd heard about Jesus or just the baptism of John, sometimes not. But whatever happened, when people received Jesus, they received the Holy Spirit. And God did it differently so that, one, it proves that everybody had been accepted. And the second thing, it proves that there is no formula for doing this.
Yeah.
It's God's decision. He knows when someone has accepted him, and therefore the Holy Spirit is given.
Yeah.
It's just so creative and so exciting. I can't stand it.
It is good stuff, no question. Yeah. Well, that's what we talk about every day here at Basic Gospel. Richard Piper, my name is Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us, everybody. If If you're residing in Connecticut or New York or New Jersey, if you're residing in the Washington, D.C. area in Louisville, Kentucky, we want to hear from you. That's why we're here every day live on the air. And the phone lines are open right now, toll-free at 1-800-677-9377. Again, toll-free, 1-800-677-9377. Richard, we want to let our listeners know that here at Basic Gospel, we have resources to aid your spiritual growth and your understanding of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this month, we're spotlighting a CD called The Basic Gospel Journey, our gift to you during the month of June. For your copy, simply go online to basicgospel.net and click the link on the homepage. It's our opportunity to say thank you for joining us on this Basic Gospel Journey. Again, our website is basicgospel.net. Click the Basic Gospel Journey link for your CD, and we'll get one on the way to you right away. Good opportunity to share the message that you hear every day right here at People to People. Richard, a question from Robert. He says, I believe what you say about the sins of all who believe having been forgiven. But in Revelation 18:5, it tells us that God has remembered her iniquity, speaking of Mystery Babylon. Does this not teach that the sins of those who reject Christ are not forgiven?
Ah, that is an excellent question. The issue is not whether things are forgiven or are not forgiven. The issue is, has somebody accepted Jesus Christ? And I'm looking up a verse right now, and I want to make sure I get it right, and I'm probably going to miss it in the whole heat of the moment here. But, yes, Colossians 1. Verses 13 and 14. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So Jesus died for all sins. But if someone refuses to accept Jesus, they can't receive that forgiveness. That is a critical point, because so many of us, I know I was kind of raised like this. I believed it myself, regardless of how I was raised. I thought forgiveness meant salvation.
Yeah.
And if everybody was forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross, then that would mean universal salvation. That would mean everybody is saved. Mm-hmm. Go out and, you know, live like the devil, you're still going to heaven.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. Redemption, which is the forgiveness of sins, is received in Jesus. So when I accept Jesus as my Savior, I receive forgiveness, and I receive the eternal life that is mine as the result of the Holy Spirit coming to live inside of me. Someone who refuses to accept Jesus cannot be saved, and therefore cannot enjoy the results of being forgiven. That means they get to deal with their own sins. There's a true curse.
Absolutely. That's kind of hard to do.
Yeah, you can't deal with your own sins.
Yeah.
You're just lost.
Yeah. A question from Chuck. In Matthew 6:9, Jesus gives us the prayer we should pray, the one in which we have to ask our sins to be forgiven. When Jesus died for my sins, I believe it was all done. I believe all my past, present, and future sins are forgiven when I ask Christ into my heart and into my life. And this is what you're talking about a moment ago. Why would we then ask for forgiveness in the Lord's Prayer? Am I missing something?
Actually, you are, and it's a good catch, because if you have to ask for forgiveness and you are forgiven, then there's some inconsistency in the Bible.
Sure, right.
And it's excellent to have picked that up and say, either my thinking is wrong or the Bible is wrong. Well, the safe assumption to make is that the Bible is correct and my thinking is wrong. My life changed markedly for the better when I stopped thinking that the Bible might be wrong and accepted the fact that I could be mistaken or misunderstand something. When Jesus was giving the Sermon on the Mount, and that's where the Lord's Prayer is talked about, Jesus was restating the law, the Mosaic Covenant, in a way that those people could understand. And in several places, he said, "You have heard it was said." And then he'd go and talk about one of the laws or one of the ceremonies that you'd have to go through, or just the whole idea of that Mosaic Covenant. And he'd explain that, and then he'd say, "But I tell you." And when he says, "But I tell you," he's declaring himself to be God, because he's superior to the law. And he's saying, here's what the law really means. So he said, "You have heard it was said, you shouldn't murder. But I tell you," even if you're angry with someone. Well, that changes the game.
Sure.
Because I can argue quite cogently that I never murdered anybody, unless you're going to start talking about my thought life, and now I'm guilty. Okay, and so in this context of the Mosaic Covenant, when he's talking about forgiveness, the Mosaic Covenant is all about, if you've got something going on with somebody, leave your sacrifice at the altar.
Right.
Go and settle things with that person with whom you're having the difficulty, and then come back, and maybe even both of you come back and rejoice at this altar that forgiveness has been achieved. But you can't ask for forgiveness here if you're holding a grudge against somebody else over here. That was the old covenant. When Jesus died, he fulfilled completely that old covenant, the Mosaic covenant. He was the sacrifice.
Right.
He was the righteous one. He was the only one in the history of ever who could have done what he did, and he did it. So that means we are no longer under that Mosaic law. We still are dealing with the law of sin and death, which had nothing to do with Moses. It's the result of Adam and Eve's failure. And so when we come to Jesus, we receive that forgiveness. And now we get to forgive people as we have been forgiven, rather than in order to be forgiven.
Yeah.
It's changed the economy. It's changed the way we approach God. Because now, in the Mosaic Covenant, God was saying, here's what's coming. I'm going to be providing a sacrifice. And in the meantime, I'd like you to pay attention to these forms, these pictures, these shadows. Well, now that the reality is here, we realize that God's intent the whole time was to deal with the sin problem once and for all, and now we can actually forgive others as we've been forgiven, because it's just an amazing thing that Jesus has provided.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's go to O'Fallon, Missouri, and talk to Brad. Hi, Brad. Welcome to Basic Gospel. You're on the air.
Hey, welcome to New York, Washington, D.C., and Louisville, Kentucky.
Well, yeah. Well, thanks, Brad. I'm glad you're calling from Missouri.
Hey, I tried calling to get in on the 3:30 program, but they said you'd take me now, and I assume that you're talking about joy.
Yes.
And the way I've come to know joy, and I know it may be abstract for some people to hear it, but I'm learning the secrets of living in that new creation that we are.
Yeah.
And in the new creation, we have the availability. Not only are we available to God, but that's where the joy is experienced. When I get off in the flesh, there's no joy there. But if I get my eyes back on Jesus, get my mind centered up on him, I can experience an awful lot of joy in Christ based on who he is and who I am in him.
Yes. Again, it's that certainty that I was talking about before. Joy is absolutely dependent on who Jesus is.
Absolutely.
And the fact that he has given all he is to me. Every spiritual blessing is mine or yours or any other child of God's. And it's, you know, that's the only way to have it. You got to stay
focused
on Jesus.
And the secret is learning how to live in that new creation that he's made us.
Yes. Thankfully, he's very patient and brings us along slowly. And, you know, that's the beauty of this new creation. Once you've been saved and you're scratching your head and going, how do I get joy? The Spirit says, don't worry about that, I'll teach you. And then
yes,
begins
absolutely.
To reveal every aspect
God's
of it.
Gift, that's where all of God's gifts are. That's where all of his fruits are, is in that new creation.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Brad, you're a frequent caller, and you always add great content to the program. We appreciate you, brother. Thank you for calling
today,
and anytime you call. So you have a wonderful weekend in the Lord.
Thanks for New York, Washington, D.C., and Louisville, Kentucky. I pray for y'all, and I'm glad to have you on board.
Thank you, Brad.
Thanks a lot, man.
Appreciate it here.
Bye-bye.
You know, at Basic Gospel, we're excited to be journeying with you in the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Everyone is on a journey, but not all of us know where we're going to end up. This is your invitation to take a journey into life and freedom, a journey that begins and ends with our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you've been confused about the direction of your life, the truth in this message will give you a clear path and set you on the adventure of a lifetime. A CD message called The Basic Gospel Journey, it's our gift to you during the month of June. Just click A Gift for You at BasicGospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828. That's BasicGospel.net or by phone at 1-800-727-2828. Now for Richard Piper, the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us at the same time on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel.